Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text, especially this verse from the book of Daniel. In a vision, Daniel was told about the days yet to come. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. This is our text. There's more happening than what you see with your eyes. I'll say it again. There's more happening than what you see with your eyes. That shouldn't come as a surprise to us. As Christians, we know this, though sometimes we forget. Reality, ultimate reality, is more than matter in motion through space and time. We just said it a moment ago. We confess that God is the maker of all things visible and invisible, the maker of things real but unseen by our human eyes. Well, what things? What are the invisible things? The holy angels, Michael, Gabriel, the six-winged seraph, the cherubim with sleepless eye, angelic hosts innumerable and unnamed. They always, always see the face of the Father who is in heaven. And yet, at the same time, as we hear in Hebrews, these ministering spirits are sent out to serve those who inherit salvation. In other words, the messengers of God are sent to serve you. That's their job. That's their calling. It's an amazing thing to think about this, that the angels are sent to serve you and me. So yes, there's more, way more going on behind, underneath, and all around our unremarkable daily lives. Though we don't see it, we believe it. Now, Holy Scripture gives us some glimpses into this unseen realm. I say glimpses because that's really all we get. We just get images that appear briefly and then move out of sight. We catch a little scene here about the holy angels and another scene there. It can be hard to understand exactly what's happening. I feel that way when I listen to this reading from Daniel or even the reading from Revelation. But maybe we don't need to know all the details, just the big picture. One of our glimpses comes through the prophet Daniel. Now, you need to know a little bit about who Daniel is. As a young man, probably a teenager, he was taken captive from Judea to Babylon, a captivity of 1,000 miles away from home. There in Babylon, God gave him the gift of interpreting dreams, which brought him into high positions. But life in exile, life in a pagan land surrounded by pagan gods, often clashed with his own deeply held beliefs and his worship of Yahweh, the God of Israel. You likely know how Daniel was thrown into a lion's den and lived. But do you remember what Daniel says when he comes out? He says that God sent his holy angel to shut the lion's mouths. Of course, we ought to remember that Daniel didn't see the lions before he was thrown in. He probably didn't even see them when he was first thrown in. And yet, they were there, the angels were there. And they were guarding and protecting him. But in our reading, we now meet Daniel as an old man. We're told that he's fasting and he's mourning. His sorrow might be because some of the exiles are returning to Judea, but he's not. He's an old man, probably not able to make the journey to his homeland. And while he's fasting and mourning, God sends a heavenly messenger to Daniel, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold. His body was like beryl, face like lightning, eyes like flaming torches, arms and legs gleaming like burnished bronze, and a voice, oh, that voice, like a thunder of many people. God sent this heavenly messenger to Daniel to tell him of the things that were to come. But, and here's the thing that I find so revealing about this passage. This angelic messenger describes first how hard he's been working on behalf of Daniel and on behalf of the other exiles and on behalf of all God's people. It's just a little statement, but he describes there in just a sentence how this angel was opposed by the prince of the kingdom of Persia for 3 weeks. He's not talking about an earthly prince, but a spiritual one. A fallen angel and demonic power. You get this picture of a standoff between this heavenly messenger and this demonic power for 3 weeks until he received the help of Michael, one of the chief princes. We call him an archangel of God. And there's our glimpse, like something that flashes past the window real quick. With Daniel, we get a glimpse of the supernatural struggle taking place. Above this earthly realm, over the nations of the world, a spiritual battle rages. We hear this in the New Testament as well. St. Paul says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." A spiritual, supernatural struggle, battle is taking place. We are not fighting alone. This is what we confess on St. Michael and all angels. We are not fighting that battle alone. The holy angels fight for us. Every day, every hour, every second. Sent by God. Jesus said, as we heard in Matthew's gospel, "I tell you that in heaven, the angels of these little ones always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man came to save the lost." As we go blindly about our business, the angels are there taking care of theirs, taking their directions directly from the Father in heaven, watching over the little ones, the lost, whom Jesus came to save. As we face temptation and resist the devil, the holy angels are there, providing strength and help. As we worship the blessed Holy Trinity, the angels are here and they worship too. What are we invited to do as the Lord comes to meet us each Sunday in the sacrament of his body and blood? You know the words. We're invited to join the angels and the archangels and all the company of heaven in praise. We even sing their song, "The Thrice Holy," saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of Sabaoth." The angels do battle as the hosts of heaven, rank on rank of heavenly hosts. And God himself is the Lord Sabaoth. He is the Lord of heavenly armies. And Jesus is the King who marches at their head. Yes, the fight is fierce. Yes, the warfare long. I know some of you are going through it now, perhaps deeply, difficultly, wondering, praying, hoping, asking for help. It is not easy here below where the devil rages and the evil spirits are at work. But as the prophet Elisha said to his servant, when the two of them looked out and saw an army of horses and chariots, Elisha said, don't be afraid. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. The devil and the fallen angels are no match for the heavenly host. They cannot withstand those who fight under the banner of Christ. But I think sometimes we misread the supernatural realm. When we match up the opposing forces in our minds, we view Jesus and the devil as opposites, like opposing quarterbacks. They're not. Satan isn't the opposite of Jesus. He's not even close. Yes, Satan is strong, but he's not God. He has never been God, and he never will be God, no matter how much he hopes it, no matter what he does. And who is Jesus? He's the stronger one. He's God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten of the Father from all eternity. And yet at the same time, he became one of us, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Why do the angels fight for us? Why do they make common cause with us, weak and bumbling and sinful as we are? Why do they love us? I'll tell you this. It's not because of your own merit or worthiness. It's not because you're so lovable and so amazing. It's because they love those whom Jesus loves. And they care for those whom Jesus cares. And they fight for those whom Jesus fights. That's why. They are devoted to our Lord. Their eyes are always on him. And you know where his eyes are? His eyes are on you. And so they are devoted to you, the brothers and sisters of our Lord. Since Jesus was willing to shed his blood for you, the holy angels are more than happy to raise their swords on your behalf as well. The shed blood of Jesus that covers you is their battle cry. Of course, we can see this when we think about the life of our Lord from the Gospels. Think about how closely and intimately the angels are connected to our Lord in his humanity. Who is it that announces the conception of Jesus, that the Word is becoming flesh, but the angel Gabriel? Who is it that tells the shepherds good news of great joy on Christmas Day, but the angels? Who is it that attends Jesus in the wilderness when he undergoes temptation and strengthens him? Who is it that comes when he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, staring into the cup of God's wrath that he is about to drink, and lends him their aid? Who stands by the tomb when Jesus has burst it open and is no longer there, is not dead but alive? Who is it that appears to the apostles as Jesus ascends into heaven? The holy angels. As you have seen him go into heaven, so he will come again. The holy angels love our Lord in his humanity, and so they love you, those for whom Christ died. As we think about this supernatural battle, the holy angels and the evil angels, we might be tempted to be discouraged or frightened, but there's no reason for fear, and there's no reason for trembling. There is reason for awe. If the holy angels serve us like this, then let us also serve one another. If the holy angels are willing to bend down and honor even the little ones, let us stand beside them and do the same. No matter what we may feel like at times, the truth is this: Satan isn't on offense right now. In fact, ever since our Lord's death and resurrection, Satan has not been on offense at all. The time of possession has been entirely in the hands of Christ. Satan's on defense. He's forever on defense, and Jesus is marching down the field. Yes, the devil fights to hold every single yard, But I can tell you this, the chains are moving in our direction all the time. And what about the end? The struggle will continue, and it will even intensify until the end. But don't despair, and don't be overconfident. This is what Daniel was told, and I want to read again the first three verses from Daniel 12. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like stars forever and ever. Daniel is told about a time of trouble that lies ahead, but it ends in a time of joy. Because Daniel hears of the help that Michael the archangel will provide. He hears of the resurrection that is to come. He hears of the deliverance from judgment. And he hears of the eternal glory that awaits. Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Jesus speaks of a time that is coming when the unseen realm will not remain unseen, when the veil will be torn open, the curtain will be pulled back, and we will see with our own eyes the very Son of God returning in glory and all the angel hosts with him. And then the books will be opened. And what about our names? Written in those books in the blood of Christ. And what about the part where Daniel says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky forever. Wise? Well, we are learning wisdom now. We are learning the wisdom of recognizing our own sinfulness. We are learning the wisdom of trusting in the only Savior from sin, Jesus Christ. We are learning the wisdom of thanking God for his holy angels that fight for us. For now, we stick with the things that are seen. For now, we have the things that may strike us on an earthly level as being weak and powerless, but that God reveals to us as being strong and full of grace. What do we see? A little bit of water, but the washing of God's word that made us his own beloved children and brought us into his kingdom. What do we see? A book full of words, but what is it? The Holy Spirit breathing out the life and power of God as he makes known to us Jesus Christ. What do we see? A little bit of bread and a little bit of wine. And yet we know and believe that it is the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. What we see looks little, but what is unseen is so great. Indeed, so great that even the angels, as I said earlier, are here with us now. Even the angels are bending before our Lord as he comes to serve you. Even the angels are honoring the blood of our Lord. Even the angels are singing with us, holy, holy, holy. And if you can't hear them yet, you will. In Jesus' name, amen.